Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So we've mentioned once or twice, or maybe 12 times already.
A few times.
That we're considering 2021 the year of Marvel.
Ooh.
Yeah, with all the content and everything. So because of that, we are having a once-a-month-ish series that's just Marvel, completely Marvel-focused. And we're having the second episode, MCU Phase 2 today.
Oh.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Second episode, Phase 2. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. We're very creative that way. But before we get to that, Brandon, what's your current nerd thing you're into?
Well, so, I mean, this year has been a lot different than most years with the whole, pandemic and all that.
Yeah, coming up on a year almost.
Coming up on a year of being stuck inside. And normally about this time, we'd be heading to a film festival, a local Canadian film festival.
Yep.
Where we get to watch a bunch of indie movies that have, like, some sort of Canadian tie.
Yeah.
But this year, they had to make it go online.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's just one weekend, but we've had a whole week of being able to watch 6 different feature-length films.
Yeah, and 10 shorts.
10 shorts, mm-hmm. Yes. And, it's been great to kind of have a little bit of normalcy and see some movies that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah, it's been... I always enjoy the film festival. It's in a nearby town. It's the Real Canadian Film Festival.
Yes.
If you're at all interested in looking it up. And so I was really glad that they didn't have to cancel it outright or anything like that. Some of the best movies I've ever seen, we've seen at these, and some of the worst movies we've ever seen.
An interesting Marvel link, since we're talking about Marvel.
Uh-huh.
It's the first time we saw Kat Dennings.
That's true.
Who was in Thor and Thor 2.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she was in one of the little indie movies.
That was a great one, too.
It was a really good one, yeah.
So that was one of Kat Dennings' big breaks.
Yeah.
We got to see her then. And I remember just being like, man, I don't know who that girl is, but she's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started hearing about her after that.
Yeah, and that was before Two Broke Girls and
exactly,
everything.
Exactly, yeah. It was quite a while ago now.
Quite a while ago, yeah.
But yeah, it's my nerd thing, too. We've been having a lot of fun with that. And yeah, we like film. And another question, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I am drinking the official NHL sparkling beverage, neutral.
We drink a lot of neutrals.
We do, yeah. They're delicious.
Yeah.
And refreshing.
And refreshing. Mm-hmm.
And they don't give you hangovers.
Ah, I see.
Because they're, like, mostly water.
Right. That's just nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you just watched a hockey game, and so neutral made sense with it?
Yes. Exactly.
Nice.
Had to drown my sorrows, unfortunately. My team lost in overtime.
Yeah, but at least it was overtime.
We got it was exciting. It was exciting, yeah.
Do you want to know what I'm drinking?
I do, actually. Okay. What are you drinking?
I'm being very basic right now. I'm drinking a White Claw.
Ooh, that is very basic. Ooh.
Yeah, it was pretty basic. I don't care. I will,
You like them?
I like them. They're refreshing and fun, and they taste good.
They're a bit sweet for me.
I know.
I tried.
You tried them, and you were not a fan.
I can't do it. No.
This one's a lime one, and some of them I find too sweet. Lime is not one of them.
I
enjoy it.
The citrus helps with that.
Yeah, but then again,
going to drink one, it would be lime.
It would be lime.
Yeah.
It cuts through it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I could make fun of being a bit basic, but here I go wrapping my Infinity scarf around me and drinking a pumpkin spice latte as well. So,
Yeah.
The other thing that we do, top of the show, before we get to the news, is we do an update on whichever show we're currently obsessed with. Right now, we're calling it the Marvel Minute because WandaVision's out.
Yeah.
And we just watched episode 4. What do you think? And we keep this spoiler-free.
Spoiler-free.
Initial gut reaction, so not too in-depth, just what do you think?
I know a lot of people were having problems with WandaVision.
They were wrong.
They were wrong. Like, I got the premise from the get-go.
Yeah.
But this was kind of the tie-up episode. They're going, making it more of a Marvel thing, not just an homage to sitcoms, and it's great.
I'm
excited to see where it goes, and I'm just really happy that we're getting to watch stuff like this.
I know. I'm beside myself. I just want to watch it again for the first time. I love it and I'm very, very into it. And I wish, I want more people to watch it so I can talk to them about it.
And I can think about is how much Disney Plus original series we're getting this year. And like, if they're all at this level.
I know.
How lucky are we?
This is, I'm looking forward to all of them, of course, but there were two that just... so excited for, and Loki, and then this one, because they look the most different, I guess, most unique take on something, and so Yeah, I'm very happy.
I'm gonna give a shout out to the Falcon and.
Oh no, that looks awesome! Because like, I like the idea. It looks like it's gonna be like a buddy cop.
Buddy cop. Like,
I think that's gonna be fun.
I think that's gonna be super fun.
Oh, I'm super excited for all of them. But those two, I just like so excited to see what they do, and I just enjoy like weird stuff. And I think those two are gonna be the most weird.
Well, yes, Loki's gonna be much more weird than Falcon and Winter Soldier,
totally.
For sure.
And like I've always said, Scarlet Witch is my favorite MCU character, and so just this one, I'm so happy.
You're so happy, yes.
And I just get annoyed at everyone else who doesn't understand it, and I think they've stopped talking now after this episode.
Yes, this episode was fantastic. So run out and watch it before it gets spoiled for you.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there's huge spoilers in it or anything, but just watch it.
It's so good.
It's good.
So good. Okay, that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Okay, so some big Disneyland and Disney World news this week. They are officially updating the Jungle Cruise ride.
Yes, which, I mean, we knew it was coming, but we didn't have
Well,
details.
I mean, there's been rumors swirling. There's a movie coming out based on it.
It was supposed to be out last summer, of
That
course.
Was, yes, it was supposed to, it's like shot and everything. Yeah. They're just waiting for the right time to drop it now.
In other words, not pandemic.
Not pandemic. They want theaters to be open. Mm-hmm, they don't want to put it on Disney Plus,
right.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But, yes, they're redoing the ride. They're updating some of the maybe more culturally insensitive scenes in it.
Yeah.
And that's good. And the other thing is, they're not putting The Rock.
I thought
in
for
it.
Sure if they were
Thank
updating.
Goodness.
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to be putting him in there when they announced that they were going to be redoing it in kind of conjunction with release. Kind of a big relief that they aren't going to. You mentioned when we heard the news that, well, that's the quickest way to make it super dated.
Yeah, like it ages it quickly.
Yeah.
Especially if the movie is not very well received.
right.
Like, people are upset about Johnny Depp being in Pirates. The first Pirates movie was fantastic.
Yeah, well, so, the whole series, whether or not you like them.
It's very popular.
They were
very
popular.
Yeah.
They made a lot of money and things like that. And that makes a heck of a lot more sense than putting it into... Well, we've seen Disney do that before, put a lot towards a movie they think is going to do well, and then maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, like, well, in Disney World, the dinosaur is the big example of that. Like, ugh.
Exactly what I was thinking of, yes. And so that was kind of a relief hearing that.
No, I think it looks good. The early indications, they're doing a good job and it's going to be fun.
Yep.
And they're taking a lot of input from the skippers.
Yes.
Which is a good idea.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to be much, very story focused, which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are upset about the Trader Sam kind of situation. Although that hasn't been confirmed or anything, I think he's going away.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, but
it is.
What are you going to do?
It is
right?
also, yeah.
And then the other big announcement for Disneyland itself was that with the sun setting, as quote-unquote,
right.
of the annual pass program, they did announce that anyone that was an annual pass holder previously is going to be part of this new program called the Annual Pass Legacy Program,
right.
where they're going to get some extra little perks and bonuses right. along the way before they unveil their new fancy park pass, whatever that's going to be.
Basically a thank you for being a pass holder transitioning kind of thing.
If there was any doubts that they were going to not continue the annual pass, which was silly.
I don't know why anyone was worried about that. Even the press release, it sounded like they were going to come up with something new anyway.
Oh, of course.
So,
no, they want people to spend a bunch of money
right.
every year.
Yeah, of course.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And big Disney Plus news.
Yeah.
We knew it was in the works, but we have a release date. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers Revival Series is coming out on March 26th.
Right. That's actually coming up pretty quickly.
Really quick, yeah. They released a trailer. And it's showing kind of what the series is about, and it looks pretty cool.
Emilio Estevez is in it.
Emilio!
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. I liked the Mighty Ducks. I mean, we like hockey. We're Canadian, right? Of course, you know, we're going to like a hockey kind of thing. But the movies having come out in the 90s, they were a lot of fun. My brothers played hockey, and they liked these movies when I was much younger, so there's a lot of nostalgia with the Mighty Ducks.
I mean, they're pretty cheesy, but...
Of course they are, but...
It's a fun cheesy.
It was... Disney did a lot of sports movies in the 90s that were incredibly cheesy.
Cheesy Disney sports movies are...
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's super fun,
it's
though.
It's fun, yeah.
Definitely gonna watch this. I'm gonna have fun with it. It's gonna be nice. Yeah. Gonna be good.
Might have to watch all the Mighty Ducks movies before it comes out.
Yeah. Let's do an episode on it.
We can do a Mighty Ducks episode. Sure. That sounds like fun.
Only if we quack.
Quack.
yeah, that looks good. And very soon.
Well, and one extra little news item.
Okay.
The Numios.
Numios?
I don't know. I blocked it from my mind because I'm scared. Because this one over here might spend a little too much money.
So I'm also scared because I have a really hard time choosing things.
Mm-hmm.
He's glaring at me and nodding his head and shaking his head alternatively. I have a little bit of an obsessive personality as well. So that is a really bad combination.
Yeah. So if you don't know, the Numios are, they're an import from Japan.
Yes.
Disneyland, Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're plushes that are, they have like kind of a wire skeleton so you can pose them.
Yeah, but they're still soft and fluffy.
Soft and fluffy, but they, the big thing about them is they, you can put them in outfits.
Yes.
Which, of course, purchased separately.
Of course. Every single one.
from everything from a fur jacket to Loungefly bags.
Actual Loungefly bags. For
to Spirit jerseys. Yep. Like, yeah, and they are not that much cheaper than real Loungefly bags and Spirit
comparatively.
Jerseys. Like one third the price for 1/8 the size. I mean, they're really cool looking.
And they're super cute.
They're super cute, but I'm scared of the price tag there.
Right now they have Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Stitch release.
And Lady Stitch, and whatever her name is. Yeah.
Yeah, and even now I was looking at being like, okay, well, I want Mickey and Minnie. But then you need, like, more than one outfit for each of them. But...
No, you don't.
Yes, you do, because you change them.
Need,
it's like a thing.
Need is the wrong word there.
But apparently, where we're going to have trouble is when they announced that I said, you know what, I think I'll be okay unless there's, like, a Winnie the Pooh or Piglet one.
They're coming, yeah.
Yeah, no, those are in Japan and just making their way here.
Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are, they're adorable.
So cute, yeah. But the more I see them, the more I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And they look super, super cute. But I don't know, like, I'm just kind of getting into Loungefly, and I also like ears, and I just like, oh, pop figures and stuff like that. I'm like, so I'm, uh-oh.
There's only so much room in the house, and there's only so much dollars in the bank account. We gotta just relax.
So
on that one.
It's one of those things, it's like, do I dabble, or do I completely stay away?
Yeah.
It's totally me. I know.
I know. Yeah, you're terrifying. There was an idea to bring together a couple of regular podcasters to see if they could talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We call it the Disney A Initiative.
Our main topic today is MCU Phase 2.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that fits in really well. We're watching WandaVision.
Yeah.
And
yes, okay.
I mean, the MCU is just this big, huge movie thing, and let's talk about it.
Absolutely. I know before we started recording tonight, I said, you know, like, we're going to talk about a little bit going through each, again, chronologically, each movie and things like that. And I said, you know, like, do we have enough details and stuff? And Brandon said, oh, I can talk Marvel, like, all day, every day. So it's always limiting.
I can do this all day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know, all day.
That's a different face.
Oh, right. Yeah, but okay. Nice that you're saying WandaVision, because this is the introduction to the MCU of Scarlet Witch. It happens during Phase 2.
Exactly, yes.
So this is a nice kind of
thing
here.
Mm-hmm.
So as we did when we talked Phase 1, let's go through chronologically the movies, and then we'll pick, you know, favorite, least favorite. We might have to talk second most favorite, because I think we have the same.
We're going to have some agreement in this one, but I mean...
Yeah, Phase 2 was definitely
Yep,
pretty straightforward one. Okay, so we had just left off with the Avengers movie at the end of Phase 1.
Came out summer 2012.
Right. So the next May, 2013, Iron Man 3.
Coming off a big high.
Right.
Iron Man 3 we just had this amazing Avengers group up and Iron Man saved the day. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go into Iron Man 3 by himself. It's a little tough to come down off that high. I don't think it's a bad movie.
Right.
I don't think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It tries. I don't know. It's kind of muddled.
I do like he does address in it, which I thought was quite interesting and an interesting take on it, is the trouble he has coming down from the high.
Yes. Yep. He's dealing with PTSD in it, which is an interesting thing.
He like almost died.
He thought he was going to die.
Yeah. And was like accepting of that.
He was accepting of that. And then he has this PTSD of it. And it gets a little muddled with the villain situation.
Yeah. And the villain situation in and of itself is interesting.
Yeah. So if you didn't know, the Mandarin is a big Iron Man villain.
Right. Hold up for one second. In case it isn't entirely clear, there's definitely spoilers going to be happening here if you haven't watched Phase 2. But then again, we're talking to 2013.
This was and what like are you 8 doing? Years ago.
Yeah. What are you doing listening to this if you're not? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mandarin.
Mandarin. Mm-hmm. He's a big Iron Man villain in the comics. Everyone was excited. They had Ben Kingsley coming in to
which
play
is awesome.
Him. Amazing. And then they have
Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley. And they reveal that he's not actually a real villain.
Yeah.
And it's a bait and switch type of situation, which I personally actually liked how they did that.
Yep.
But the real villain in it was kind of underwhelming. So then it didn't work.
Yep. I agree. I liked bait and switch because it did catch me off guard. And I mean, I'm not a huge comic book person, so I wasn't as, enthralled with this idea of the Mandarin. I was more like, Ben Kingsley, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. But
and he did a good job.
Totally.
In both the fake villain and then his actor spin. It was really good.
But I agree. And then it was tough because coming off the high of Avengers, this movie as a whole felt like it was not like a letdown that's too strong, but like it definitely came down from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you have the world at stake in the Avengers, right? Yeah. And then you're back down to, well, it's this kind of egomaniacal guy who has a beef with Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And
with another egomaniacal guy.
Well, yes, but
but then you also, within that, the movie itself, there was a big buildup and then a letdown from that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is too bad, because there are some epic scenes in here and everything.
Oh, sure.
It just was tough to live up to. I agree. Iron Man 3, there are three Iron Man movies. This is not my least favorite, but it's not my favorite. It was fine. It was fine.
Pepper Potts gets a little
her, yeah.
It was fine. It was kind of
cheesy,
but they
did nothing with her, though, after this.
Yeah.
Like, they had this buildup, and
are you kidding? They had the girl power moment in Endgame.
Okay. I could do a whole episode on that girl power moment. But here's the thing. They had this buildup for Pepper Potts, who I actually think is a cool character. And I'm not just saying that because she's a woman. But I actually think she's a cool character. And then she just, like, they leave her hanging, or they leave us hanging with her. And then she gets to be part of the girl power moment, and you're like, huh? I feel like I missed a significant transition here.
I mean, you only have so much screen time. I guess you have to kind of fill in the blanks on your own.
Okay.
But it's,
hold on. Okay. Can of worms opened.
Uh-oh. on your side.
But here's the thing. They didn't give her screen time because it was deemed not an important enough part.
Yeah, no, that's
because
fair. Because... Well, they got to focus on Doofus in the Iron Man suit, right?
Right.
Making all his mistakes and endangering the world because of his ego. Yeah.
Right. Well, so, especially later on in this series. But, like, you're going to build her up because you want this female character, like, based on this, but we don't actually want to develop her at all.
Right.
And then we're shocked when people are like, oh, female characters in superhero movies are, like, they suck. And it's like, maybe that's because you gave her no... Like, you built her up and then left her hanging, so then she becomes lame.
Right.
It was a disservice to Pepper Potts.
Right.
And I think she's cool and has an awesome name.
What is it with alliteration in comic book
we
characters?
We saw Stan Lee speak.
I think it was a Stan Lee thing. Yeah, he liked it.
That's what he said. Yeah, he's like Peter Parker, Pepper Potts. He didn't use Pepper Potts as an example, but they talked about all those ones.
Is multiple examples. Yeah. I don't have them off the top of my head,
but he said that's why he came up with the name
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner,
that's a big one.
But that's the reason he came up with the name Peter Parker is because he liked that alliteration. He thought it was punchy. Mm-hmm. And very, he said it was comic booky.
I miss Stan Lee.
I know, it was fantastic. But yeah, so I think they did Pepper Potts a disservice. That isn't why this movie isn't like my favorite. It just is symptomatic of the whole movie where there was build up and then let down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, offensive. It didn't tick me off, but it was fun. There were some fun moments, but like, eh.
It was definitely better than Iron Man 2. I will say that.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, you said that before, but
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then after that, same year, November, Thor the Dark World comes out. November release for this one. That was interesting.
Thor did take the fall slot. They're trying to expand the whole release schedule so they can have a summer and fall, and then as we move on more and more. But
before we talk too much about Thor, so you're talking release dates here, I'm looking and we have May, then November of that year, and then then after that we have April, then August of that year, and then we have May and then July. So they're trying to figure out how to release two and like have it work.
Yeah.
I think is what they were doing. This is the only fall winter release time. Probably because it didn't work great.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that was the fault of the release schedule. Thor is, in my opinion, the worst MCU movie by a lot.
Really? Okay.
Like, it's not even a debate to me.
All right.
It's muddled. It's stupid. Natalie Portman kind of, like, is unconscious for most of it, and when she is conscious is... She doesn't care because obviously she doesn't care about the script. I don't know. She's like forced into it contractually or something. Yeah, I think Kat Dennings might be the best part of this movie.
I agree. She's not in it enough.
She has some funny lines, but the villain's terrible. Thor is pretty bad in it. It's just silly.
Best part of the movie is either Kat Dennings or Loki.
Well, I mean, Loki's always great, too, but...
Basically, yeah. And, I mean, that's... I like Thor, and... Yeah.
I was excited to see this after the first Thor movie, which surprised me,
yes,
as we discussed.
Yes, so very pleasantly surprised. Yeah, I agree. Because that was just, like, a lot of fun, and you were like, it's very action-y, and...
Yeah, I don't know. The biggest problem, of course, is the villain being, like, a Lord of the Rings reject.
Right.
Space elf, just, I don't know, he's there. I barely remember him. All I can think of is that he looked like a bad extra from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk about this anymore. It was not good.
Okay, one thing I do want to say is my issue with Pepper Potts in Iron Man 3 is the same issue with Natalie Portman in this one.
Yeah.
They're like, we want to do something with this woman, but we don't know what. But she's integral, but she's not... the hero, so let's, like, in this case, literally make her unconscious.
Yeah, no, stupid. Yeah. So, hopefully, that is rectified in the next Thor movie.
Yeah, I hope so.
She's supposed to have a big part.
I know, which surprises me, because she didn't seem that into the first two.
Well, and that's why she's coming back, and she seems excited about it. It's like,
and she wasn't even
Taika
in, so
Waititi is gonna fix it. She must have seen...
The third Thor movie and was like, okay, I'm back.
I want to be part of this. Yeah. Well, I mean, even Chris Hemsworth was on his way out of Thor until they did that third Thor movie. So,
but we don't want to talk about that too much.
I know.
We'll get to that. That's a different phase.
I know.
But yeah, that was actually my big problem with this one. Again, you have the villain problem, which seems to be the recurring theme here throughout. Best part of this is Loki.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Kat Dennings as well. I find they did a disservice to Eric Selvig. And I like him as, like, a character.
Yeah, and I mean, he's kind of the through line because he was a big part of the Avengers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Loki came from Thor and were a
yes.
big part of the Avengers. And then
he had a great after-credit scene, that one, right?
Well, yeah. It was like, it set up everything
exactly.
for Avengers. And and then he was the through line to this movie as well. And, yeah, it just, I don't know,
yeah,
it was
silly. Just weird. It was silly. Yeah. Okay. Let's move from there to Captain America the Winter Soldier. Now, in phase one, you were most pleasantly surprised with Thor and most disappointed in Captain America. In fact, you said phase one, and when we talked about phase one in January, that Captain America was your least favorite in phase one.
Yeah.
Because it was the most disappointing.
And that was, yeah, it was a relative thing. Like, I could watch that movie anytime. It's fine. But in a relative from expectations, a superhero punching Nazis should be a lot better than that.
Fair. Okay. Well, Captain America the Winter Soldier comes out. We have a completely different tone to this one.
Yeah. So, first things first, this is the introduction of the Russo brothers.
Right.
Up until this point, you got Kevin Feige kind of directing everything with his little marionette strings from the top. And you have Joss Whedon doing the Avengers movie and coming up the next Avengers movie as well. So he's the big guy on the block for the whole MCU at that point. And the Russo brothers come in and just shock the pants off everyone.
Right.
With the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It's got a completely different tone than any MCU movie thus far.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a spy thriller, Jason Bourne-esque type of thing.
Yeah.
And it shows you can do different styles within this universe.
Yeah.
This interconnected universe, but you can do different styles.
And this is the start, but they take it so far. Mm-hmm. And even more so now, like we're talking about when they're doing the shows, and you have like this weird sitcom thing, and then you have like a mindbender, and then you have a buddy cop comedy.
Well,
I mean,
WandaVision, of course, is that idea taken.
But they never
would
have been able to do any of this if these guys hadn't come in and been like, let's just play with it a little
and
bit.
The MCU gets a lot of heck for like just following the formula, but it really doesn't. Like we have these different genres taking place within phase two already.
Right.
Like look at the next movies on this list.
Well, I'm looking at it. We had Thor the Dark World, which was probably along the same kind of feel as, say, like Iron Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then you have Captain America the Winter Soldier, and then we won't talk about it yet, but the one that comes next, these movies exist in the same world. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly.
So what were you impressed, basically, is what you're saying, by the Russo brothers?
Yeah.
Handling here of Captain America.
I mean, if you were a comic book fan, the return of Bucky as the Winter Soldier was a big deal. They used to say, nobody's dead in comics.
Right.
Except Uncle Ben and Bucky.
Really? I had always heard Uncle Ben.
Yeah. Those were the two, because, like, Captain America has been around for years and years and years.
Yes.
And Bucky Barnes, alliteration.
Yeah.
Died and was dead. Like, he was a sidekick for a long time of Captain America, and then he died, and he was dead.
Okay.
Dead. And then years and years and years and years later, they brought him back as the Winter Soldier.
So now we're waiting for Uncle Ben?
No. Uncle Ben's dead. Sorry. He doesn't even get to be in the MCU. He's that dead.
Okay. The idea of Captain America has never really appealed to me. And I don't know if it's because I'm not American or what the deal is. But I'm just like, he sounds like Superman. Like, they're fun, and they're
Superman,
action-y and
but
stuff.
Lame.
Like, yeah. But even Superman, I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of cool, but, like, whatever.
Well, Superman's kind of boring, but yeah.
Yeah. And Captain America is basically, like, MCU version of that. Yeah, or well, Marvel version of that. Sorry.
He's got the Boy Scout problem. It's not interesting.
Exactly. And then this movie comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, which is why I like the MCU so much, these characters have more depth to them, and I think the dynamic there is super interesting. And now, Captain America, Steve Rogers, is one of my favorites. Like,
he becomes fantastic. He gets some gray areas to him. And,
exactly.
And he has some fun interactions with Black Widow as
which is a great character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually really enjoy their dynamic together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to go down the stupid romance route.
Exactly.
So, yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah. It's like, you can have They have a little bit of flirtation and stuff like that, but it's, like, jokingly, it's lighthearted.
They're work spouses.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Everyone's got a work spouse, right?
I mean, of course, Hawkeye is really Black Widow's.
But he's not in this one.
He's not in this one, okay.
I enjoy their dynamic. I enjoy exploring Captain America more, especially because he gets the, you know, fighting Nazis thing. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in the Avengers, and he's very Boy Scouty.
Yeah, and of course, that's an ensemble piece, so you don't get to, like, really explore exactly. him that much.
But here, all of a sudden, you get some development. I enjoyed this
him
one.
In modern times, yep. how he's dealing with that.
And then let's throw the Winter Soldier into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so. And some great action scenes in this one.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay, so that brings us, same year, a few months later, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Yeah, James Gunn comes along, and in August, we get Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, as we alluded to, just different genres being explored Holy. Here. So, here we have Disney doing Star Wars
yeah.
before they even had Star Wars. I think the Lucasfilm deal was shortly after this.
Okay.
I don't know, but this is a space opera.
Yeah.
Done right.
If I were to come up with one word for this movie, it is just ridiculously fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. Like,
so fun.
Amazingly fun. But I looking back, I don't think we appreciate how big of a risk this movie was.
Right.
Who had heard of the Guardians of the Galaxy before this? Like, they took Iron Man, who was like a B-tier character,
right.
and made him
the
central part
yeah.
of this billion-dollar franchise. They took these super obscure people.
D-level?
D-minus level. Like,
okay, let's just, like, think about pitching this, right? We talked about when we did the Hamilton episode of, like, imagine walking in and being like, okay, I got it. Founding father, hip-hop. And they're like, okay, got it. You know this, like, fairly successful action sequence we got here? Let's start a talking raccoon in a tree. And you're like, uh-huh.
We're going to get Vin Diesel, and we're going to get him to say four lines. Four lines.
I am Groot.
We are Groot.
Exactly. And that's it.
Like, honestly,
like, just pitching that is crazy.
Yes, Hamilton was a tough pitch. This was harder.
It's
incredible that this movie got made, first of all,
yeah.
and then was successful, second of all.
Successful, but, like, not just successful financially. Successful. It was a really good movie.
Oh yeah, like, extremely watchable.
Mm-hmm. I can watch this a whole lot and really enjoy it.
Just,
every time.
Just wonderful. The pacing is perfect. The comedy
yep.
is perfect. The action's amazing.
It's a movie that literally everyone can enjoy. There's some, like, adult humor thrown in there a little bit and stuff like that. There's some great action scenes. There's just some ridiculousness to it. There's some heartfelt moments. There's just, like, everything is awesome. And, oh my goodness, speaking of awesome, how about the music? Awesome mix, maybe?
Awesome mix, volume one. You betcha.
It knew how ridiculous it was and was like, let's just embrace that and lean into it. And, yeah.
And Chris Pratt nails it.
Oh, heck yeah. He comes out of note. Well, he had done...
He had been a chubby, funny guy.
And he shows up as an action star now?
Action star. He's ripped and...
Yeah, he
yeah,
is.
Like, I don't know. It's...
One of the Chris's now in the MCU.
Yeah. It's... No, I have nothing but good things to say about
totally
Guardians
agree.
Of the Galaxy.
Probably one of the most watchable, rewatchable movies in the MCU.
Which
and
is saying something.
That is saying something, because I will watch pretty much all of these over and over again.
Except Thor 2.
I said pretty much. Okay, after Guardians of the Galaxy, we have to wait, like, almost...
Well, I mean, they have their release cycle of two movies a year, and
yep.
and the big one, of course, is going to be the summer release, which is
the
start
first...
of May. That's
yep.
that's your blockbuster
yep.
season.
They
yeah.
came up with two that summer, but the big one was May.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers: Age of Ultron.
And hype is at a fever pitch.
Holy smokes. Well, we just came off this weird space thing.
But, I mean, the Avengers themselves have been building. We've seen a
yep.
couple of them back in action, but not all of them.
Right.
And we want to see them together again.
And then we do.
And the trailers for this are amazing.
Yep.
I remember James Spader as Ultron.
Yes.
Is brilliant casting.
Okay. I really like him.
Yeah, he's great.
And the idea to put him as Ultron...
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the trailer came out and it was I've Got No Strings, him
exactly.
just singing it? And I was like, I'm like intrigued and excited and terrified.
Oh, it gave you goosebumps.
Right?
But then the movie came out and it was fine, but it has a lot of problems.
Okay, well, let's talk about those problems. I know we have one more movie still in the release, but since this is the big one.
I mean, the phases... kind of end with Avengers, but we have a little epilogue after this one.
Yeah, it's like a transition piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the transition piece. Actually, let's do this. Let's talk about the transition piece first, then let's come back to Age of Ultron, because that's the biggie.
Okay.
Okay. We get an introduction of a new... Well, we have an introduction of a couple characters in Age of Ultron, but then we get, like, a whole new one with Ant-Man.
Yeah, and it's
like... Later that same summer.
Yeah, it's this weird genre hopping... It's a heist film.
It is a heist film, yeah. With a guy who turns into ant size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not a superhero.
No.
He's actually, like, a petty criminal.
Right?
Which is something different.
Yep.
But, no, I liked Ant-Man.
I did, too, and... I kind of feel like coming off of... We talked about the problems with Iron Man 3 coming off of the big movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ant-Man did it so much better. It came off the big movie, but it was something so different.
It was different enough that the letdown was easier because it was so different.
Yeah. It was like lighthearted and fun, and it wasn't quite the same buildup. You weren't expecting, you know, a big piece. It had some fun action moments and stuff like that, but it was much lighter in tone. It was fast-paced.
And it's still an origin story.
Exactly.
So I think that helps it coming off the big movie as well, yeah.
Plus, I adore Paul Rudd.
Yes.
And he is, like, perfect Ant-Man.
So good.
And you're sitting there, like, Paul Rudd, superhero, really? But he is, like, really? I'm a superhero?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So it totally works.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. You know, it's not going to be completely epic or anything here. It didn't have the success that, say, Guardians of the Galaxy did, but it was just, again, it was super watchable. I do think it gets forgotten. Well, I think like Ant-Man, it gets forgotten about and overlooked sometimes. But again, it came out 2 months later after the big ensemble piece. So they kind of knew that going in.
The MCU is so big that they're ready for that.
Yeah.
They have that kind of built into their plans.
Exactly. So I think this one just worked, basically.
Yeah.
But I
have nothing bad to say about Ant-Man either.
I kind of want to watch it again, actually. We've only seen it a few times.
I wouldn't even say a few times.
I know we for sure watch it twice.
I'm pretty sure only twice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but let's go back to the big ensemble piece, because that is designed to be the height of the phase.
Yeah,
so,
this is your climax of phase two.
All right, and we said there's some problems. I know as far as the climactic films go, this is the one that is generally regarded as being bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But I mean, of the small list that there is. Let's talk about the problems with it, first of all.
Well, so the big problem, unfortunately, is the villain seems kind of silly in retrospect. He's threatening in some ways, but he becomes kind of like this weird Bond villain almost.
Right.
Cackling behind the scenes. The good parts of it are that we get introduced to these new characters that become very important.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're watching WandaVision.
Yep.
They are both introduced in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of expand the whole Marvel Universe with the Infinity Stones playing an integral part to it. I mean,
Vision.
Yeah, I mean, he literally gets one implanted in his head, but the experiments on the twins and their introduction, it's all important. The pacing is a little off, and the final battle scene's kind of overwrought.
Right.
You
had a cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
A couple cool moments.
It almost seems like they designed it around the cool moments and then forgot about the whole movie in between.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the whole Black Widow and Hulk romance angle is just really disappointing.
So I understand that in the comics and the TV shows and things like that, there is a romance between them in some of them. The way it was done was awkward.
Yeah, no, it was ham-fisted and terrible. Like I said in Captain America, I was glad that they didn't go that way, and then they went completely the opposite way in this movie, and it was like, no. I like them having a connection, like, and her talking, being able to talk him down.
I really like that too. Like, sun's getting low. Yeah.
But they didn't need to make it a...
They didn't need to go all the way with that
hide
romance
the zucchini thing.
Right. Well, no, you know what? Captain America, he could have made that joke.
Well, I mean, Tony Stark could have made that joke. Captain America probably.
Oh no, the one I was thinking of was Captain America when he's like language.
Yeah, language. See, that's
that was funny. They didn't. I agree. Like, I like a romance, right? And I like the hints of little things. When they make it obvious like that, then it's like, we need to put a romance in here so we can have the woman do something.
Yeah, no, that's
like you said, her talking him down. I actually really like that. We know that she has gone through stuff, like bad stuff. So I think it's cool that she's able to be, especially someone who, you know, manipulates other people. Like, we see that in Avengers and things like that. That she actually authentically is able to...
She manipulates people, and Scarlet Witch manipulates people. Yes. There's interesting themes there to be had.
Uh-huh.
It's just not quite right.
Well, and then you know what I think the problem is? They're trying to do too much in one movie.
Yeah.
You're trying to introduce these main characters. You're trying to, first of all, create the basis as well for the rift that eventually happens.
Right, because that's coming in phase three.
Right. Uh-huh. We have a lot of moral questions going on, you see, especially with Tony Stark. But you also, you have the creation of these guys become actual Avengers. You also have this, like, Hawkeye thing that going on, which is always a funny question to me. It's, you know, you have these superheroes, and then you have a guy with a bow and arrow, and had they just, like, played with a little bit?
Mm.
And he makes that joke himself.
He does.
He's like, there's the god over there, and here I am with the bow and arrow. Like, this is ridiculous. But then they lean into it a little too much, where it was, like, setting him up, and I get that it's, okay, Joss Whedon did this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this when we were talking phase one. In 2015, mm-hmm. I really liked Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff has, you know, surfaced about personal life and stuff like that, which makes me a little bit more hesitant with Joss Whedon. But this one, it was like he was trying to do all of the things he enjoys doing in TV shows and movies and everything like that. But in one, you know, he was trying to set up who was going to get killed and then not going to be that person, but someone else is going to die and it's going to make everyone upset. And we also have to, like, have a lot of cool, like, little throwaway lines that are really well written, but it doesn't really fit in a lot of the scenes. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, just a little off base.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of important stuff that happens. Yeah. Like, you can't continue on in the MCU without watching this one.
I will say this, like, it sounds like I'm being pretty harsh on this movie. I like it way more than a lot of people do.
Yeah, yeah, I don't dislike it, but it does have problems.
Yeah, and like I said before, I really like Scarlet Witch, so getting her introduced here is awesome. I love the fact that there is this incredibly powerful villain, or she's set up to be a villain, and then ends up having a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
And James Spader is awesome.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
His voice work is great, and he's a great actor, and yeah, it was...
It fits perfectly.
That was fun. And
I can't actually know what the problem is. I can't quite put my finger on what the problem is. It just didn't
all... that's what I'm saying. It's just...
It wasn't all cohesive.
It's just slightly wrong, not all cohesive, pacing's a little off, and the climactic battle is a little goofy.
Yeah, I would be goofy, yeah. And that's saying something, considering we were just talking about how much we like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
But
that's goofy in a good way, and this was goofy in a bad way, yeah. I think.
It just didn't mesh. All the pieces didn't mesh perfectly. Mm. And it was good, it wasn't great, kind of how I feel about this one.
It was there, it did stuff, and yeah. You have to know about it, but yep. I don't know.
I almost think, not necessarily they should have done this, but they shouldn't have tried to do so much in one movie. They should have maybe done two movies and done something else, because they just tried to do too much in this one, and I just think it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that brings us... So after that, we have Ant-Man, like we said before. That brings us to the end of MCU Phase 2. Brandon, we said before we were going to talk most and least favorite. I think we have the same ones.
I mean, if you've been listening, it sounds pretty obvious.
Yeah, so first of all, least favorite is what? There's no surprise here.
Yeah, it's Thor.
Yeah.
Like...
I didn't dislike it as much as you did, but...
Thor 2 is a bad movie.
Yeah.
And I can't say that about any other MCU movie that I can think of. Like, just straight out and out bad. Like, Iron Man 2 is not great. The Incredible Hulk is... not great. I don't want to, yeah, but Thor 2, The Dark World, is awful. It's really bad.
So I didn't hate it like you do. Like, I don't think it's awful. I certainly don't think it's good. That is definitely my least favorite. I don't think that's questionable, actually.
Mm.
Anyone who picked a different one in here, I'm not sure about your reasoning. It is, it's Thor 2.
I would love to hear someone argue, right? One of these movies is, yeah, worse than Thor
2. Yeah. Okay. Most favorite?
It's Guardians of the
Galaxy. Of course it is. Like, of course it is.
Come on. That movie came out of nowhere, and it was just amazing.
So amazing.
We actually watched that in D-Box.
We did. Yeah, was that the first one we watched in D-Box?
I think it might have been the first movie we saw in D-Box.
Yeah, it was. Had James Gunn done anything in the MCU before that?
No.
Yeah, so this was...
He's the big Guardians of the Galaxy guy. Right? He came out with this and made part two as well, and he's coming back for part three after, right, a little hiccup from,
yeah,
his tweets.
Yeah.
But he's also making the semi-reboot of Suicide Squad over on the DC side.
Oh, interesting.
Because, of course, the first Suicide Squad kind of tried to copy Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, and failed miserably.
Yeah.
So they're doing it again with the actual Guardians of the Galaxy guy.
Maybe it'll work a little better.
Maybe it'll work a little better. Who knows?
Right. I agree. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. That's just an awesome movie.
Yeah.
This period. And not just an awesome movie for the MCU. It is just an awesome movie. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's your second most favorite movie then?
You better go first.
Okay, so here's my thing. We all know how terrible I am at picking favorites. And I was kind of torn on this one. Because whether I wanted to go like pleasantly surprised, whether I wanted to go super fun, whether
just
I wanted
one.
To go super important, I'm actually picking my second most favorite. I'm picking one that I know you're not going to pick. I'm actually picking Age of Ultron.
Oh.
Basically the only reason, I really like Scarlet Witch.
Interesting.
And favorite is probably not the right word, but if I'm like ranking them and I'm thinking of the MCU as a whole, all the awesome that comes later can't happen without Age of Ultron.
It is tough. Like, if you're... There's been a whole bunch of movies in the MCU, and if you're trying to tell someone to watch the important ones to catch up on,
that's exactly my thought process.
Age of Ultron has to be on that list.
So I'm in a lot of these like Disney Facebook groups and social media groups and stuff like that, and a lot of people are like, I want to watch WandaVision. What do I need to watch? And it's people are like, you have to watch Age of Ultron. And so I think that's why I'm ranking this one as second most favorite. Now, if I'm looking just on the merits of the movie themselves, no. But if I'm thinking in terms of the whole MCU, I guess so. Certainly not, you know, the second best movie on here, but there are other movies on here that you can watch all of the MCU movies without watching that one and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can say that about Age of Ultron.
No.
I have to give it to the ensemble piece, basically.
Right.
Even though it had serious problems. Definitely my least favorite ensemble piece.
It's the worst Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Including Civil War, which wasn't
Avengers movie, but it's basically an Avengers movie. But just its importance to everything that comes after.
Which is something new for the MCU. Like,
yeah.
Superhero movies have been around for a long time, but you have this interconnected universe. So,
well, we talked about when we were talking phase one about the Avengers, how it was all leading to that, and that was something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one is like we're seeing now watching WandaVision, even, and the
seeds that were planted from that movie
in, you know, like what year did that come out? 2015, so 6 years ago,
mm-hmm,
right? So, I think favorite, not so much, but if I'm giving one where I'm like importance, then that one,
okay. Well, for me, if I can't pick Guardians of the Galaxy, because we've agreed too much, it's going to have to probably be Captain America, because like the Winter Soldier was just such a redemption for that character and made me care about him. I mean, he became this really important part of the Avengers, right? And without this redemption movie and like getting me seriously invested in this character, I don't know if I could follow him all the way till his... till his final scene in Endgame, right?
Right.
Like, so, I importance and watchability, it's got to be Captain America, Winter Soldier.
I totally give it to you. If I'm thinking, what is the second best movie on here? Captain America. Yeah. definitely. There's still that buildup there, though, right? Because you don't have Civil War happening.
Mm.
You don't have, you know, Iron Man might be the center of the MCU, but if he's not, then it's Captain America, and we don't care unless we have this movie.
Yeah, I mean, your lead singer is Iron Man, but you don't have the MCU without your lead guitarist, who's Captain America.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, I like it. For me, like I said, it was Age of Ultron, but I was torn between Captain America and Ant-Man, and I knew you were going to pick Captain America.
I kind of thought you were going to pick Ant-Man.
Because I love Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
And it's just super fun.
Paul Rudd's fantastic, and his little sidekick with his recap.
Oh my god.
His ever memeable recap. I wish I could remember the character's name.
Can he just recap everything?
They need to do a previously on where he actually like recaps the MCU.
Right.
And it would be great.
Right? I would pay money to watch him do that in theaters, even if it was only 15 minutes. Which is probably how long we need to be.
It'd be about 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It'd be perfect.
With the way he runs on. I agree. You know what? Part of it, though, is Ant-Man, to me, is just like a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, to me, is a whole lot of fun. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go a different route.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So some agreement and some disagreement.
Yeah, I mean, Phase 2 is pretty cut and dry on what's the best.
And what's the worst.
And what's the worst.
Basically, you get some new Avengers introduced who are awesome. Ant-Man, Guardians, and so on. And then you get some in-between. It's a whole lot of setting up.
And, after the success of the Avengers, which was a big risk, they take a little bit more risks, mm-hmm. and they just prove that this is like a behemoth that's not going to be stopped.
Right, exactly. And it's all working towards Phase 3. So we have, whether we're introducing characters, whether we are developing characters, we're all working towards...
And I think Age of Ultron suffers from that probably more than anything.
Agreed.
It plants too many seeds, and that's maybe what was wrong with it.
Yeah, I totally think so. They're trying to do a lot. Like, you have Guardians and you have Ant-Man, which are, you know, introduction films, right? But you're also trying to do that in Age of Ultron. Well, you're trying to do an ensemble piece where you're trying to do development. Yeah, too much.
Too much.
But like I said, an important one when you're looking at the MCU as a whole. Yeah. Anything to add on these, guys?
I think that covers it.
All right.
Go MCU.
Exactly. Well, next time we're talking Phase 3. So.
Phase 3 is a big one.
That's a big one. Oh, my God. Can we do it all in one episode?
Might have to make it a two-parter.
Maybe. What a weird concept. Okay. So that brings us to trivia. Last week, we talked 1940s.
We did, and I asked you some questions.
Yeah, and I am not that confident, actually.
You're not that confident.
Well, you know, I'm never that confident with these trivia questions. You do this thing where I think I'm doing well, and then you just go, huh. And then I second guess myself, and it's all, okay.
So I asked you just a couple questions, because... You spoiled one of the questions I was going to ask right. in the episode, so I couldn't really ask it.
Right.
Would have been kind of silly.
I thought you should have. I would have been guaranteed to get one right.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of silly.
All right.
But no, I asked you which future Disney films are teased in one of the 1940s features.
Right. Well, you know what? This one you said there were two, so really I'm still having to answer three things.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. This is what I said. Peter Pan.
That's one guess.
Sleeping Beauty. All right, how'd I do?
So you're half right.
Okay.
It's
not bad.
In Pinocchio, at the beginning, Jiminy Cricket's like hopping around. He's a kind of a vagabond at this point,
right.
Breaking and entering. I'm like,
that's right. You did mention that when we were watching.
Crazy. But there's some books on the bookshelf in Geppetto's workshop, and it says Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
And Peter Pan.
Yeah, it does.
And you got Peter Pan. You were absolutely correct, but you missed Alice. Sorry.
Yeah. I remembered that there were books, but I thought for some reason one was Sleeping Beauty. Like I said, I thought one was a princess one, but I was wrong.
So close.
Hey, you know what? Half right, I'll take it.
Yeah, not bad. Then I asked you what type of wood Pinocchio is carved from.
You were so mean.
Technically, this was two questions from the same movie. I guess I was doubling up there, but...
Well, that's because I took your Bambi question.
And you said...
Pine.
Pine?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
I kind of made you a little less confident.
Yeah, that was mean.
Oh, that was kind of funny. But yeah, you were absolutely correct. Right with your first instinct, he was carved out of pine.
Okay.
Italy known for its pine trees.
I don't know. We've been to Italy. Were there a lot of pine trees?
I didn't see many. No, I don't know. They must be there somewhere.
Somewhere. Okay.
We didn't go to the forests.
That's
so,
true. Yeah, that's true. Know. Yeah. Okay. That was mean. That was really okay. So, what about this week's trivia?
Well, so you got a little confused, and you told me that it was my turn for trivia again.
I know. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself.
For some silly reason, I believed you. So, I did come up with some more trivia questions.
I know. And you know what? It's actually my own. So, it's my not only my fault, but it's also to my detriment.
Yeah. Well, you have to answer these questions,
exactly.
Don't you?
I much prefer making you have to guess.
Yeah. So, I'm actually going to change it up.
Okay.
We had some Marvel questions the last time we did a Marvel episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on our news items this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the Jungle Cruise revamp.
Yes.
And so I'm going to ask you some questions about Jungle Cruise.
Uh-oh.
And
all right.
Mm-hmm. First one being, what movie was the Jungle Cruise originally inspired by?
The African Queen.
And who starred in it?
No idea.
Oh, big movie star.
Yeah, I know, but
very confident with the African Queen, though.
Yes, I knew that.
Are you sure about that?
No, but somewhere in my brain, it said that.
Oh. Huh.
I know there was a big star in there, but I can't even place what year that came out in.
And apparently, she was. Actually had a cameo on the ride at one point.
Really?
Yeah,
I can't even.
Very interesting, isn't it?
I can't even place what year that, because then I'd be able
it was a long time ago.
Oh, I know that.
Long before our time.
Yes, I know that because the ride is quite old.
Mm-hmm.
Think
she's a big actress, big old time actresses. Just guess one.
Ingrid Bergman. Sure. I don't know how old, like, I'm going here, but that's super, super old, so, okay.
Okay. Humphrey Bogart.
But, that, what?
Just from Casablanca.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but you said she. So
yeah,
I know,
yeah. Okay.
I figured African Queen was going to be female.
Back on to the Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
We talked about how they've made a movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
And that's going to be released here soon, maybe.
Hopefully. Theoretically.
But they were going to make a movie based on the ride previously.
Was that like part of the whole, yay, pirates made a bunch of money, so let's make Haunted Mansion?
Kind of. I think it was right in that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Who was going to star? Who was slated to star in that adaption?
This I have no idea. Let me just think here. So, I don't even know what, like, realm they were gonna go with it, if they were gonna make it a comedy or if they were gonna make it whatever. I'm gonna guess, well, Eddie Murphy did Haunted Mansion, let's just say Eddie Murphy again. I have zero idea.
I mean, that's a decent idea. I think they were going for a comedy.
I'm sure it wasn't him, because they wouldn't have gotten him to do two, especially after Haunted Mansion did not do well. Because it wasn't very good. But yeah, I don't know.
I found something like that. I found this fascinating.
Really?
So tune in next week to find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out, actually.
Yeah.
I find that very interesting. I didn't know. No idea.
And finally, the other piece of news we talked about, Disney content coming out, the Mighty Ducks revival series. In the original Mighty Ducks movie, Emilio Estevez plays Gordon Bombay.
Yes.
And he's forced to coach the Mighty Ducks team.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he get forced to coach them? And what did he do to deserve that?
I've seen this so many times, you would think that I'd remember.
He gets community service. What was his offense that gave him community service?
Do you, like, damage public property?
Possibly. I don't know.
Trying to think. I know
he was not a very good person.
No,
I can tell you that.
I know he was like super like 90s yuppie-ish, right?
Yes.
So I'm trying to think of like what is that kind of.
He was very yuppie-ish. He was actually a lawyer. Like,
yeah.
You don't like him at the beginning.
No, we're not supposed to at all.
He's
jerk. Like every kind of bad. Yeah, every kind of bad for that stereotype.
So damage to some public property?
Well, that would be along the same kind of line that you would get public service for, right? I really have no... I do not remember. I remember him standing there and, like, talking and... Like, I remember the scene, but I can't remember what leads to the scene.
Well, I mean, reading about this, I was shocked because I don't think they would do this anymore.
Well, then I was like, it wasn't like drunk driving or something like that.
Well, maybe that's how he damaged public property.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he was drunk driving and, like, drove into something.
Yeah.
Sure. You know what? I'm going to say that. He was drunk driving and drove into something that damaged public property.
Oh, okay.
That's very elaborate. That's what I'm going to go with.
Maybe too elaborate.
Oh, okay. Damaged public property. Let's bring it back to that. Okay.
Well, anyway, you can tune in next week and see which ones Krista got wrong.
I'm not very confident, so not
I didn't notice how I didn't say which ones you got right.
Yeah, I did notice. Well, I got it. I know I got at least one, probably three wrong.
And if you think you know better
than
Krista, which probably do.
Oh, that's not great.
Feel free to fire us a message.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you hear my sigh? Because I'm just so downtrodden after this trivia.
Maybe perk her up and say, good try. Well done.
Hey, you know what? I'm confident about the African Queen.
A for effort.
Okay, I'm going to hang on to that one. So you can contact us on our social media to perk me up. Our website is disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find links to L. Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the beginning of the show. If you want to contact us through social media, Instagram at DisneyA.podcast, Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyAPodcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can find DisneyA episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, among others. Please review our podcast, subscribe, and if you know someone who might like it, be sure to recommend us to them. You can also listen to DisneyA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. It's actually kind of cool if you want to listen to, like, music from the parks.
They kind of play, like, mood music and other podcasts and stuff. It's really cool.
So it's been, like, final exam week for me at work, and I've been doing, like, sitting at my desk doing tons and tons of marking. And I was definitely listening to, like, ride soundtracks and things. It was really nice. Yeah. So if you feel like listening to that, listening to other podcasts.
Really good for big Disney fans.
Yeah, exactly. Highly recommend for that. You can join us next week. We're going to get all mushy. It's February. Yeah, so Valentine's Day. Aw, mwah. In honor of Valentine's Day, we are going to talk about Disney couples. And if you have a favorite Disney couple that you just think awesome, be sure to let us know on any of those social media or through our website. So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
I am Groot. We are Groot.